It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. This nearly 2,000-year-old statement is from Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius. What has changed over the vast expanse of time since these words were first uttered? Consider how completely this Stoic nugget of wisdom applies to our current paradigm. Again, to repeat this statement so that it sinks in a bit deeper. The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. A copy of the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius was put into my possession when I was 14 years old. I felt drawn to it in so many ways, and the Stoic perspectives and principles were inarguable. Has human nature evolved since the era of the Stoics? It would not seem so. In today's paradigm, how many are willing to face the unvarnished truth head on? How many are willing to help expose unpleasant but necessary to know truths, especially if doing so will cause their peers to reject them? Personal pursuits of pleasure, of acceptance by the mob or the herd, and the material acquisitions are still all too often prioritized over a sense of responsibility to the whole, of which we're all a part. How far has the human race drifted off course? How long do we have if the current course is not completely corrected? Stay tuned for an update from the front lines of what we collectively face after these announcements. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for March 10th, 2018. This is a commercial-free program and brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. It's broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network. Our thanks to them for helping to sound the alarm. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, as always, this announcement, free geoengineeringwatch.org. Informational materials, need-to-know materials, can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. Talk to the staff in the vitamin section for those. And for those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We're simply trying to get the word out. Jim Fair announcement for this week. Jim Fair Events, staunch supporter of the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. This week, Pleasanton, California, at the Alameda County Fairgrounds, started yesterday, goes through tomorrow. A stocked geoengineeringwatch.org and staffed booth is their informational booth. You can get free materials there. You can have a free entry into the event if you're going to get Geoengineering Watch materials. So please show your support if you're near those areas. Pick up materials. Help us to sound the alarm. Next week, the Jim Fair event is in Reno, Nevada, March 16th through March 18th. That's at the Reno Sparks Livestock Events Center. The week after, March 23rd through the 25th in Eugene, Oregon at the Lane County Events Center. If you're near those areas, show up, show your support for the Jim Fair group by picking up the geoengineering awareness materials so we can expose and halt the ongoing climate engineering insanity. I want to make a short, undetailed announcement. Many have asked if geoengineeringwatch.org will host an event this year, an awareness event in Northern California. The answer is yes. We are working on that now. We'll be in Northern California, as always, and about the end of July. More details to come as soon as we can confirm those details. I want to read a comment from a commenter titled Into the Void that appeared on one of our article threads. And this is the sentiment we have coming from distraught members of the population that are understandably distraught at what's happening around them, the insanity we find ourselves immersed in. Again, this comment from Into the Void. Our forests in Southwest Florida are silent. There is no insect life. The fish that once were so abundant are gone. It's hard to be upset. The boating community is silent. The reality of aquatic collapse is our dirty secret that no one will talk about. I think we are ashamed to admit to ourselves that it's finally happened, that we have finally reached the end. But we have, and the natural environment that we remember as children is gone forever, and it's not coming back. Our beautiful world that we once loved is gone forever, and the end of human beings is at hand. We knew this day would come. Now it is here. Something to think deeply about. My thanks to the commenter Into the Void for telling it like it is. Given all that we know about the all-out assault on the human race, the assault that the human race is waging against Earth's life support systems and the entire web of life, and again, I talk about the environment primarily because that is the bottom line. The rest is meaningless fodder, theater, artificial economy that cannot and will not exist without a functioning biosphere. It's that simple. Biosphere collapses, the human race will follow. There is no other outcome. So, again, given all that we know about the all-out assault the human race is waging against Earth's life support systems and the entire web of life, what are we to make of the following headline from RT TV and other sources? Here's the headline. Strange phenomenon under Africa threatens to flip Earth's magnetic field. Follow me through with this for a moment. I want to make a point here. Earth's magnetic field is decaying at such a rapid rate that scientists think the poles may flip. New research shows the most significant weakening is happening under Africa in an area called the South Atlantic Anomaly, as well as giving us our north and south poles, a magnetic field blankets Earth, protecting it from solar winds and cosmic radiation. Without it, there would be likely no life on our planet today. However, the force field has weakened significantly in the past 160 years, and scientists have suggested that it could be in the process of flipping. Effectively, this means a switch in magnetic polarity and would see compasses point south instead of north. Strangely, this has actually happened several times in the history of the planet, occurring roughly every 200,000 to 300,000 years. Now, let's consider that one statement there, and I want to pick this whole report apart. If Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and this happens every 200,000 to 300,000 years, and the article says it's happened several times, who does their math there? This is something that would have happened about a quarter of a million times then, not several times. We need to be discerning when we look at reports like this. I don't want to continue. There's a bigger point I want to make. Approximately 40,000 years ago, the magnetic field tried to switch before snapping back into place. Now, let's stand back and consider this whole report. As if it's just nature or fate possibly dealing us a death blow, with no consideration of what the human race has done, with the mathematical statistical odds of anything else being the core causal factor than human activity, and the statistical odds are zero. They're zero. So in regard to the magnetic field, in which it looks like some of the powers that be want to blame everything on now, as if this is some natural event completely, and there's much about this particular story that we can't know from anywhere else but official sources, if you will. And is there any mention of, oh, by the way, we detonated hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere to see what would happen? We've detonated over 2,000 nuclear bombs, many of them buried in the Earth. What did that do to the planet overall? No mention of anything regarding human activity. And let's put climate engineering in this mix and the massive arrays of ionosphere heaters that are rearranging the atmosphere, if you will. No mention of any of this. Just painting a picture that somehow nature might come to get us. Who's responsible for what in this equation? And is this particular narrative going to be used as a scapegoat for what the human race has done to the planet? Again, the most aggressive assault on the planet ever launched being climate engineering and everything that climate engineering involves, including the ionosphere heaters that are manipulating the atmosphere all over the globe on a daily basis. Now, getting back to what's happening with the climate and what's really going on in the front lines, while we're being shown the cold, cold, cold headlines from a few pockets of snow that are manipulated, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, putting snow in the most populated regions. I'll get to more headlines on that in a moment, but as I've stated, broadcast after broadcast to continue to polarize the populations, to divide them, to confuse them as to the true state of the climate. Let's get to some actual frontline facts. While people are looking at the headlines of snow in the theater on the Weather Channel and all the other power structure controlled sources, here's the study. New study, snowpack levels show dramatic decline in western states. This is speaking as a trend. This is from Oregon State University. Here's a statement from the report. It's a bigger decline than we had expected or feared, said Philip Mote, director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute at Oregon State University and lead author on the study. In many lower elevation sites, what used to fall as snow is now rain. Upper elevations have not been affected as much, but most states don't have that much area at 7,000 plus feet. Now consider this. There is so little snow in the mountains. Temperatures were so warm for most of the so-called winter in the U.S. West that almost everything was blooming. And now we have this headline from the Union Democrat and other sources. Recent freeze brings concern about state's multi-billion dollar almond crops. From that report, whipsaw weather, like the weather whiplash I've talked about for how many years. Now they use a term that's similar. Whipsaw weather changes up and down the Golden State, including warm spells in January and early February, followed by Central Valley cold snaps in late February, have almond growers and state agriculture officials very concerned about freeze damage. How much damage has been done to lucrative crops won't be known until harvest time comes, August to October. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that the 2016 California almond crop, for example, was worth $5.6 billion. An estimate for 2017 is not yet available. California produces about 80% of the world's almonds on close to 1 million acres. This is weather warfare. This cool down was not a natural occurrence. We are seeing only above normal temperatures at altitude. That's all. How do they cool vast regions at the surface? With chemical ice nucleation processes. If you don't know what this is, if you've rolled your eyes and walked away because you can't comprehend what can be done now. And it's interesting how people who believe with no skepticism that a single engine prop Cessna that can carry two people and a few flares on the wings, they believe that can alter the weather. No one has any trouble believing that. But then when you try to point out that we have military tankers, in the case of a KC-135 that can carry 100 tons of payload, and God knows what's in that payload at this point. We know some of what's in the payloads because we're doing lab tests. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, all toxic metals, all associated with climate engineering patents. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the common citizen has no trouble believing in the scapegoat, small-scale, single prop-driven airplane weather modification programs, but they just can't accept that the military would be doing this on a scale that is unimaginable. But whether people accept it or not is irrelevant. It's happening. Let's continue with headlines. This headline from Watchers.org, extreme cold results in severe agricultural damage across Europe. Food prices rising. So we have California that had almost no winter. In fact, where I live on the east side of Lake Shasta, still, even after this highly trumpeted cold snap, we have still not had a below freezing temperature. We used to get them in October, have not had one where I live. If you live somewhere else and you had a freezing temperature, that has no relation to where I live, on top of a small mountain. No freezing temperature here. Cold air is dense. It settles into lower-lying areas, especially when it's chemically nucleated air from incoming storm fronts that typically now don't drop the rain that was predicted because that rain is being used up with the endothermic reacting chemicals. These are patented processes. So the cold temperatures have not been there. Everything began to bloom. And then they engineer this cold snap, again, to confuse the population as to the true state of the climate. Is this not weather warfare when it results in massive crop loss with ecosystems and agricultural processes that are already in collapse? And we have the same thing happening in Europe now. Again, this headline from Watchers.org, extreme cold results in severe agricultural damage across Europe. Food prices rising. This report states this, record-breaking cold temperatures that hit Europe just before the start of 2018 meteorological spring, not the year 2018, but the meteorological spring, which just happened, claiming the lives of at least 50 people are also responsible for severe agricultural damage. While the full extent of damage won't be clear for quite some time, severe damage is already evident and some food prices have already gone up. This is absolutely an engineered event. Look up at geoengineeringwatch.org, search geoengineeringwatch.org, engineering winter, or engineering snowstorms. We have lots of articles, very detailed articles with hyperlinks to patents, with hyperlinks to government documents. Investigate the issue. If you walk away and choose to ignore this kind of reality, you're exactly what Marcus Aurelius described in the beginning of this broadcast. One that wants to belong to the ranks of the insane. And that's the society we live in at this point, by and large, with some exceptions, but not enough. In regard to the weather and the script reading actors that now play the part of public deception for the power structure, in Northern California, where we used to get forecasts of rain, 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 day after day after day, what do we see now so often? The paid liar script reading meteorologists that are literally reading a script handed down to them from the National Weather Service and NOAA, which is given to the National Weather Service and NOAA by private defense contractor and geoengineering contractor Raytheon. Here's what we see. Few showers, some passing showers, an afternoon shower, spotty showers, a possible shower or two, some drizzles. I could go on and on and on. Why is it so inconsistent with the rain? They can't even predict the day ahead of time. Rain is predicted. The closer you get to that date, it typically is diminished. Why? Because they're aerosolizing the moisture that's being fed in off the Pacific. That's particulates being sprayed into this moisture. Too many condensation nuclei, and that migrates the moisture over us. So we have days of cloudy skies, no moisture falling, very little wind because the particulates affect convection, which affects wind. Again, completely altered state of climate thanks to climate engineering. Decimating Earth's life support systems day in and day out. Here's a new headline from KQED Inc. From almonds to rice, climate change could slash California crop yields by 2050. I brought up this headline again. We have the could word, could, may, might. There's no could. I just read the headlines. It's happening now, not in 2050. On the current course, the current mathematical trajectory, as I've stated broadcast after broadcast, we won't be here in 2050 or 2040 or 2030. That's a statistical fact if the current trajectories continue. Not an opinion, not hypothesis, not speculation. The could, may, might words that are always used by academia and the power structure controlled media to pacify the populations until the last possible moment. It's here now, not in 2050. It's here. This headline was, next headline was covered by multiple sources. 8 dead, streets flooded, cities paralyzed by massive East Coast storm. We had back-to-back storms. We had Riley and then we had Quinn. The theatrically named storms by the power structure controlled weather channel makes it more convincing to people that some ferocious winter is going on, engineered. If you look at the global temperature maps, we see where are the cool zones in the most populated regions of first world industrialized nations with the biggest militaries. Just a coincidence? I think not. And as I'm going through this, let's remember historically that climate engineering, aka weather warfare, which is also biological warfare due to the toxic elements being used, has been the weapon of choice for the industrialized nations for decades. The U.S. occupying some 150 countries, countries that have undergone horrific destabilizing droughts that then facilitated U.S. occupation. Those countries were brought to their knees. Weather warfare now being waged against the very populations of those nations and the militaries of those nations, the U.S. and other Western European nations, military members participating in what amounts to weather warfare on their own populations. That's exactly what it is. Climate engineering is weather warfare being carried out by what can only be described as weather terrorists. And as the biosphere is degraded, everything else will follow. Stock market, collapse of economies, it must follow. So again, consider this headline about the East Coast storm that just passed through this another bombogenesis event, a term that the academicians who are paid to cover the tracks of the climate engineers produce in order to legitimize something as being natural when it is not natural. The geoengineers with ionosphere heaters and the use of atmospheric aerosols can and are creating different pressure zones to engineer these events. They do have that much power. If you don't believe this, it's because you have not investigated. I invite you to do so if you care about the truth, if you care about the future of your children. Another headline, this one from Reuters.com. Snowstorms shut down Ireland. Britain calls in army for hospitals. Snowstorms shut most of Ireland down on Friday and forced Britain to call in the army to help battle some of the worst weather seen for 30 years. After a blast of Siberian cold dubbed the Beast from the East, I talked about that last week a bit, southern Britain and Ireland were battered by Storm Emma that arrived from the south and blocked roads, grounded planes, and stopped trains. Overnight blizzards left snow drifts up to 90 centimeters deep across Ireland and Scotland. The storm knocked out Ireland's entire public transport network, closing its airports and leaving roads extremely dangerous, the government said. Is this not weather warfare? And for those who think this is proof that the planet is not warming, now let's get to some of those headlines of what's really happening on the bigger picture, outside of the populated first world nations with the massive militaries who are only concerned, those who run those militaries are only concerned about their own preservation and proliferation. That's all. That's all. If you think that they care about you, I don't care if you're a part of the military or if you're a citizen in the U.S. or other industrialized nations. If you think your government cares about you, you're living in the dark. Our soldiers, for example, have been used for fodder for how long? For experimentation for how long? And we, the population, are now also a part of a grand and lethal experiment called climate engineering, aka weather warfare. So while those on the East Coast and in parts of the countries I just described are being subjected to weather warfare, engineered winter with patented chemical ice nucleating processes, what's the bigger picture like? Let's consider headlines like this that many don't cover. This one's from truthout.org. Scientists warn February melting near North Pole is extreme. Scientists around the globe are stunned by the event. Daily mean temperatures across the region were comparable to those usually seen in May. February 23rd saw temperatures in northern Greenland at 43 degrees Fahrenheit. The average high temperature there for that month is 20 below. They were 63 degrees above normal in Greenland. 63 above normal. We were warmer, as I stated in last week's broadcast. The North Pole was some 50 degrees warmer than places on the U.S. East Coast. It was 60 degrees warmer than places in Europe. Does anyone think that's normal? For the North Pole to be unimaginably warmer than places on the East Coast and in Western Europe? We need to look at the bigger picture. Our population is all too happy to punch their iPhones, watch football and political theater, and to use the knee-jerk conspiracy theory programmed mindless response toward anybody who delivers any news that they don't want to hear. That's why the human race is now heading for the bottom of the canyon, through the guardrail, careening through the air toward the bottom of the canyon, a little too late to put the brakes on. So fasten your seatbelt because trouble is near. That's a mathematical certainty. Here's yet another headline from power structure controlled military industrial complex contractor, NASA. That's what NASA is. A headline designed to pacify the population for just a bit longer. Far northern permafrost may unleash carbon within decades. There we go. May. Could, may, might. Words of pacification. No, it's not could. It's not may, it's not might, it's happening now. Not within decades, it's happening right now. We got methane counts a week ago, over 3,000 parts per billion at altitude. This is unimaginably high methane counts. Why does that matter? Because methane is extremely powerful at trapping heat. Over a 10-year time horizon, it's 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2. There has not been a methane count above 700 parts per billion for over a million years. We're now over four times that amount and growing rapidly. It appears that perhaps 25 to 50 gigatons of methane have already released from the Arctic. It's not coming. It's not off in the future somewhere. It's here. From this report, permafrost in the coldest northern Arctic, formerly thought to be at least temporarily shielded from global warming by its extreme environment, will thaw enough to become a permanent source of carbon to the atmosphere in this century. See, will, like will, may, might, it is happening already. With the peak transition occurring in 40 to 60 years, according to a new NASA-led study. NASA, the paid liars at NASA. Not 40 to 60 years. Mathematically, we won't be here. But that kind of writing pacifies people because most people, let's face it, most think if they can live their lives out, or at least most of their lives, business as usual, without doing anything for the greater good, they will do that. And that's a very sad testament to humanity. If that doesn't change, we have no chance. The study finishes with this. It is calculated that as thawing continues, total carbon emissions from this region, the Arctic, over the next 300 years or so will be 10 times as much as all human-produced fossil fuel emissions in the single year of 2016. Now, again, 300 years from now, if we continue on the current course, this planet will resemble Venus. Look up Venus syndrome if you don't believe me, and we would have been gone almost 300 years. If we stay in the current course. I don't want anyone to believe me. I'm asking you to actually investigate the facts while it can still make a difference. Consider this headline from last week. Ice in Kara Sea is already disintegrating and it's still winter! From that report, Arctic ice is disintegrating and flowing out of the Kara Sea. Hollywood could not get a more dramatic script for a movie than what is happening in reality. Now, let's put these titles that I just went over against the backdrop of the brutal winter conditions that are being engineered in certain parts of the planet, the most populated parts. And how many people in those regions have any clue what it's like on the bigger picture? They have no clue. Many don't want a clue. But if we don't pay attention to the bigger picture, we will hit the wall at full velocity very soon. I want to cover another headline from last week in regard to the most recent storm to hit the Northeast. This one was from ZeroHedge.com and other sources. The East Coast is bracing for another monster winter storm. This is for last week again. As with any coastal storm, there remains some uncertainty in where the system will exactly track, which will ultimately impact where the rain-snow line will set up near the coast and how much snow falls. There's uncertainty because these are not natural systems. And the rain-snow line, as I've talked about week after week in my broadcast, snow is so often now not related to elevation. You're either on the warm side of the, quote, winter storm or the cold side. This is not natural, not meteorologically speaking, but now it's being peddled and pushed as natural. And the public is unfortunately all too willing to accept that. Another headline about the same storm from the Washington Post, many other sources with similar headlines. This nor'easter, last week, has the potential to produce epic thunder snow. Wednesday's storm in the Northeast is set to be a beast. Sure, it'll bring heavy snow, wind, and localized coastal flooding to some, but this storm could be memorable for a different reason, the thunder snow. The Northeaster is stated to produce epic amounts of convection, vigorous rising motion in the atmosphere, more common with spring and summertime storms. If the system delivers as expected, it will rock the skies in the Northeast with crashing thunder, lightning, and heavy snowfall. Trying to make this all seem normal. Yes, it's a warmer storm. It should not be producing snow. Thus, we have thunder snow because these warmer systems are being chemically ice nucleated, and we have pockets of snow that fall that might be in some places 2 feet deep, and literally a few miles away, there's nothing. So the power structure controlled media theorizes wherever the deeper snow fell, wherever they are able to chemically nucleate a thunder shower, that's what it amounts to. That's how you get thunder snow, and thus you create a little wintry weather scene. I'm not saying it's not cold on the ground, of course it is. These chemically nucleating elements create extreme cold at a low, on a shallow layer. But it's not cold at altitude. That's why you have such convection. That's why you have thunder snow that's now being peddled as normal. It is not normal. So again, let's transition back to the bigger picture. While the climate engineers are manufacturing winter in the most populated regions of first world nations, what's happening again on the bigger picture? This new headline from the UK Guardian and many other sources. Here's the headline. It's official. The Arctic has just had the warmest winter on record. By far. The report states this. Sea ice has hit record lows for this time of year, as experts say Global warming probably fueled, there we are, probably could, may, might, probably fueled big storms in Europe and northeastern U.S. No mention of climate engineering. You cannot have a legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without first and foremost including the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all, climate engineering. So we have the whole of academia with very few, almost no exceptions. I think I know the only exceptions that are lying. They're simply lying. They're either criminally negligent of the jobs they claim to be experts in, or they are lying about what's happening in the skies. Climate engineering is absolutely real. So we have now sea ice at record lows, warmest winter in the Arctic ever recorded by far. How many people know that? How many people in Western Europe that just got frozen with chemical ice nucleating elements, and same as the East Coast, it's been a target of an engineered winter storm every week for quite some time. How many know what's really going on in the bigger picture? Almost none. And that's the way the geoengineers like it. That's the way the power structure likes it. Continuing from this report, the Arctic winter has ended with more news that is very worrying, even as a scientist who watch the effects of climate change closely, and don't talk about climate engineering, by the way. The region experienced its warmest winter on record. Sea ice hit record lows for this time of year, a new U.S. weather data study revealed on Tuesday. Quote, "It's just crazy, crazy stuff," said Mark Cerise, director of the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado, who has been studying the Arctic since 1982. Quote, "These heat waves, I've never seen anything like this. We are in uncharted territory, absolutely uncharted territory. The planet is in total meltdown, and the climate engineers, in the attempt to mask that from the population till the last possible moment, are making it far worse, not better. Geoengineering is nothing short of weather and biological warfare. We must not forget that. And again, always consider no legitimate discussion about the climate without including climate engineering. No legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including chemical ice nucleation processes. Engineered winter." Another report. This one by RobertScribbler.com. "A large area of open water forms in the melting sea ice north of Greenland during February." From that report, "Looking at North Greenland area, we find a fractured, thinning mess along a region of sea ice that should be meters thick and growing thicker at this time in February. Such a state would be remarkable during summertime, but is much more so in what should be the dark chill of a winter polar night. Ice is breaking apart and blowing apart. We may have an ice-free Arctic by September of this year, if not this year, next. It is very, very close. Climate engineers trying desperately to hide that because, again, as the public finds out, as the public becomes aware that the current paradigm is disintegrating because the biosphere is disintegrating and everything else will follow, panic will ensue. But if the public does not wake up, we are guaranteed global omnicide in the near term. Now, back to the climate engineers' efforts, chemical ice nucleation. I've covered in previous broadcasts the slush in Boston Harbor with ocean temperatures that are 40 plus degrees. Ocean water doesn't freeze until 28.4 degrees. How do you have slush on the surface from chemical ice nucleation processes, what I've been describing through much of this broadcast? What does that do to marine life when you radically cool a layer at the surface of the ocean that should not be so? What happens? What does it do? Follow me through with these headlines. This is a new report from sciencemag.org. "Scientists haven't seen a single baby right whale calf this season." Whales are dying all over the globe. Their food chain is collapsing. On that note, consider this headline, connected to the headline I just read. This headline is generally not covered by U.S. media or many from the power structure. This one's from UK Sun. How many Americans heard about this? Not many. Starmageddon, referring to starfish. "Astonishing photos show hundreds of thousands of dead starfish washed up on British beaches after Storm Emma." The engineered winter I spoke about earlier in this broadcast. Hundreds of thousands. You have to see these pictures to believe them. They're shocking. Report states thousands of dead starfish washed up on British beaches following the treacherous weather which ripped through the UK last week. A wildlife enthusiast described the shocking scene as, quote, like the Armageddon, and said dozens of other deceased creatures were among the dead. I'll get to that in a moment. Here's a headline on that note from futurism.com and other sources. And again, follow me through this. It's yet another stunning example of the absurd narrative being pushed on populations by the power structures, controlled media, and academia. Here's the headline. Why are beaches littered with dying marine life? Three things you need to know. Here's where they try to explain it away. After last week's Beast from the East storm, marine life has been washing up dead or dying along the UK's east coast. Many are pointing to low tides that correspond with the extreme weather as a potential cause. Grabbing that one out of thin air, aren't they? Quote, there are places where you are ankle deep in, or calf deep in animals. Those are the words of Bex Lynham of the marine conservation charity Yorkshire Wildlife Trust, stated to BuzzFeed News, describing an apocalyptic-looking scenario currently found in the United Kingdom. All across the UK's east coast, marine life like lobsters, starfish, fish, and birds have been washing ashore, injured, dead, and dying. Rodney Foster, a marine biologist at the University of Hull in the UK, reported to BuzzFeed News that so far a total of 24 species have been found along the coast. While species are being identified, the number of animals found is so overwhelming that Lanham said, it's really hard to quantify the numbers, to be honest. And what's the best excuse they can give us? That it was the storm's correlation with low tide? As if all these organisms that have evolved for millions of years in many cases don't know how to deal with a low tide and a storm at the same time? We're dealing with processes that are completely unnatural. The climate engineers are absolutely desperate to create any scenes of winter anywhere they can for as long as they can to shield from the population the fact that the planet is descending into what is correctly termed an abrupt climate shift, which on the current course we will not survive if there's not a complete change in the direction of the human race, starting with stopping climate engineering, which was directly responsible for this carnage we see on the UK beaches. And take a good look at those pictures, those who have the courage to actually investigate this issue. I encourage you. The pictures are beyond shocking. Let's add this late-breaking headline from last week. This one is from the SFGate.com. Let's go to the west coast of the U.S. now. West Coast sardine fishing closed for fourth year. Quote, alarming 97% population decline. Done. That's a complete crash. I covered the crash of the salmon last week, but we're going to the bottom of the food chain now. That's why everything crashes. Whales, salmon, everything else. Food chain is collapsing, and we have populations that are completely, utterly, and totally oblivious to that fact because they can still go buy a fish burger at McDonald's or wherever else they're buying it. And I covered that last week as well, the fact that the oceans are being scoured for the last remaining life. What happens when that's gone? From this report on the collapse of the fish population on the U.S. West Coast, sardine fishing nets will remain empty for a fourth straight year along the West Coast, where biologists are comparing the dramatic decline of schooling fish to the infamous collapse that led to the downfall of Monterey's once thriving Canary Row. The northern Pacific sardine population, stretching from Mexico to British Columbia, has plummeted 97% since 2006, according to an assessment released this week by the National Marine Fisheries Service and the Pacific Fishery Management Council. The perilously low numbers give regulators no choice but to close fishing, which had been scheduled to start July 1st. What made them think it would recover? That's my question. How could it possibly recover when everything's getting worse? And the 97% is a conservative estimate. There's likely 98, 99% gone. They're gone. It's done. They're not coming back. The whole of the climate science community that's sounding the alarm on the planetary meltdown needs to be publicly called out for their criminal denial of the ongoing climate engineering atrocities. Publicly messaging academicians, agencies, and media for their criminal omission of the climate engineering assault and sending them credible data at the same time is a burden that must be borne by all of us. I often get messages from individuals that mean well, but who send me long lists of people that they say I need to contact and to send data to and to educate. I can't do it alone. I simply can't. I'm doing my best, and I'm trying to provide the credible data that can be sent to these individuals, but I need help. I need help in accomplishing this process, in ferreting out all the authors of articles, all the academicians that participated who have denied the climate engineering reality. If we all work together, if we all help to wake others up around us and ask them to do the same, passing on credible data, that's key, pass on credible data, and then find authors again of articles, studies, reports, media people, agency people, elected officials, send them credible data. Emails work well. If you CC many other people, openly CC others with those emails so that that elected official or meteorologist or article author knows that many people are witnessing the conversation. We all need to do this. Time is not on our side, and it will take all of us. It can't be done by a few. This battle cannot be fought by a few on behalf of the many. It can't be done. It takes all of us. In regard to the criminal denial of climate engineering by academia, I'm scheduled for a 2-hour live-streamed event on March 15th, 3 p.m. Eastern Time with WBAI on the East Coast. It's a Pacifica radio station. I'm scheduled to debate Paul Beckwith from University of Ottawa on the climate engineering reality, which he denies, for the first hour. Second hour, I'm scheduled to debate Dr. Douglas McMartin from Caltech, who is also an official denier of climate engineering. It appears that's his job, to deny climate engineering. Works for the Carnegie Institute, amongst others, or represents them amongst others, the institute that did the survey with Ken Caldera, also part of Carnegie, surveying the scientists that they said denied chemtrails. 77 that responded from 450, which they didn't mention the 450. They only mentioned the 77 that responded, 97% of which denied chemtrails, because chemtrails is not a thing. There's no basis for chemtrails. Again, I stress that term is not helpful to the credibility of our cause. And when geoengineeringwatch.org and our legal team surveyed 1,500 scientists, including the 77 that Carnegie surveyed who denied chemtrails, when 1,500 were surveyed, including those 77, as to whether or not geoengineering, climate engineering, solar radiation management had been deployed, none were willing to deny that. None. Not one. But this is what sources like Carnegie or Douglas McMartin or Paul Beckwith won't talk about. So, on that note, on the 15th of March, let's talk about it. That's exactly what we're going to do. Let's compare facts. And you can decide for yourself who's telling the truth and who's not. Moving on, what's the current administration doing to make America great again? In addition to further fueling the already completely out of control military-industrial complex juggernaut of insanity, which includes the accelerating global climate engineering, weather warfare, biological warfare assault, in addition to gutting environmental protection across the board, let's consider this new headline from USA Today. Trump administration quietly okays elephant trophy imports again. Yes, again. From this report, good news for big game hunters. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has reversed a ban on elephant trophy imports. The change marked a shift in efforts to stop the importation of elephant tusks and hides, overriding a 2014 ban. Yes, killing what is yet left of the elephants will make America great again. This administration, like so many administrations before it, is only a part of the divide-and-conquer power structure theater of the insane. And even now, how many are still blindly committed to that insanity? How many are still all too willing to convince themselves that any occupant of the White House is somehow going to magically cure the cancer that currently runs and rules the world? A cancer of unbridled criminality, which the occupants of the White House have always been a part of. On that note, consider this report title from prepareforchange.net. This report addresses the extremely long list of governments that have been toppled by the U.S. military-industrial complex under the guise of spreading freedom and democracy, often by arming terrorists and turning them loose. The title is Overthrowing Other People's Governments, The Master List. I can't go into the list here. It's too long. I don't have enough time. But I encourage people to look that up at prepareforchange.net, Overthrowing Other People's Governments, The Master List. And there's other sources of this list also. But this list is shocking. It's historical fact. It's not opinion. It's not conjecture. This list should be examined and considered by all that have any regard for truth, reality, and morality. In regard to arming terrorists, CNN just aired an interview with Condoleezza Rice. Rice said this, "We need to promote American values." What does that mean, Ms. Rice, when we look at history like that, which I just covered, toppling anybody that doesn't toe the line for the empire and looting, pillaging, and plundering their country? That's American values? I don't want any part of that. She, Condoleezza Rice, said this also, "Democracies don't invade their neighbors." Really, Ms. Rice, coming from you, who fully supported and participated with the completely illegal and catastrophic foreign invasions. Again, for any that care about the truth, take a good long look at the master list of foreign governments that the U.S. has toppled, destabilized, or outright invaded, and then consider the incomprehensibly hypocritical statements of Condoleezza Rice. Welcome to the United States of blind, flag-waving, false patriotic tyranny and hypocrisy. If we stand idly by and allow the kind of patently false narrative that's being put out from Mrs. Rice to remain unchallenged, then that's what we're accepting, and that's what we stand for as a country, if we stand by and accept that kind of lie. In regard to arming terrorists, here's just the latest example. Investigation reveals U.S. weapons for sale on Syrian terrorist website. A wide assortment of U.S.-supplied weapons ended up for sale on an online terrorist marketplace in Syria, a CNN investigation revealed. This is normal. I've been over this over and over and over. Who gave Saddam Hussein his chemical weapons that he used on innocent populations? Fast forward to Syria. Who armed ISIS? Who armed ISIS? The U.S. U.S. weapons in their hands in so many cases. Toyota trucks supplied to ISIS by the Pentagon. This is business as usual in destabilizing countries. And let's give that list that I've given before in previous broadcasts. How many, for example, the demonization of Iran that's constantly demonized by our media because the empire wants their resources? Iran has invaded no one in 230 years. In the last 100 plus years, the U.S. has invaded and or destabilized about 100 nations. These are facts. In stating this, it doesn't mean I agree with everything Iran does or with some of their ideology, but I'm simply telling the truth. They're not invading everyone. We are. We are. We have bases in everyone's country. How many bases in other countries does Iran have compared to the U.S.? Now, I've highlighted again and again in so many broadcasts, as the biosphere implodes, the economy will follow. It must follow. It can't not follow. No functioning biosphere, no habitat, no civilization. Very simple. How wonderful is the economy? Not so much. Again, the state of the biosphere, as I stated, is and always will be the bottom line. When the Earth's life support systems fail, modern industrialized, militarized society will quickly follow. Consider this recent headline from ZeroHedge.com and others. This is just the beginning. Kunstler, this is from James Kunstler. Enjoy the last few weeks of relative normality. Consider that, not decades on the horizon. Things are going to start breaking soon. Too many things, too far past the breaking point already. Getting worse by the day. Now consider this headline, with statistics, also from ZeroHedge.com and others. Here's the headline. Thousands more stores are now on the 2018 retail apocalypse death list. Bottom line rule again. Biosphere implodes, unsustainable facade of industrialized, militarized society will follow. There is no other possibility. From the Retail Apocalypse Death List report, this year, in an effort to save their businesses, the following retailers will close hundreds of their stores, according to Fox Business, where this report came from. Abercrombie & Fitch, 60 more stores closing. Aerosols, 84 of their 88 stores closing. American Apparel filed bankruptcy. BCBG, 118 stores closed. Beeb, 168 stores closed. Bon-Ton, closing 48 stores. The Child's Place, hundreds of stores closed by 2020. CVS closed 70 stores. Foot Locker closing 110 stores. Guess, 60 stores. Gymboree, 350 stores will close. H.H. Gregg, all 220 stores will be closed this year. J. Crew, closing 50 stores. J.C. Penney, they've closed 138 stores. The Limited, all 250 retail locations have been closed. Macy's, 7 more stores will soon close. 5,000 employees will be laid off. Michael Kors closed 125 stores. Payless closing a whopping 800 stores this year after filing for bankruptcy. Radio Shack, more than 1,000 stores have been shut down this year. Rue 21 closing 400 stores this year. Sears Kmart closed over 300 locations. This includes the Sears in Reading, which is closing now. Toys R Us filed for bankruptcy. Wet Seal, all 171 stores will soon be closed. It goes on and on and on. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. It was never sustainable. It was always a Ponzi scheme. And those who are worried about the stock market and their portfolio, their retirement accounts, will very soon be worried about more fundamental concerns like food, shelter, and water on a planet that is rapidly spiraling toward a state where it will not sustain life. We have been unimaginably poor stewards of our planet. What's coming is not a Great Depression, as some in media and the stock market locations would have you believe. It's the end of what was. There's no question about that. Sorry if this message is unpleasant, but it is what it is. And the lack of willingness to face reality is why we're in this dark place. And if we have any chance of salvaging anything, it will come from a sea change in the population who decides finally, one would hope, to face reality and to do one's part for the greater good. Short of that, mathematically speaking, we are near the end of the road. Most of society has been convinced or has convinced themselves that their lives, that their well-being is completely dependent on the status quo. Thus, the vast majority are terrified of facing reality, are terrified of being told about, let alone sharing, dire truths. The majority are still mired in their fear of being separated from the majority herd, as I spoke about in the beginning of this broadcast. But is remaining an unquestioning part of the mob what life is really about? Living in fear and conformity without any regard for morality or lack thereof? Our own good, our own evil, exists in one simple principle: the correct use of our own free will in doing what we can for the greater good, given our own individual circumstances. No one can take our will. No one. It's never too late to do the right thing, to play one's part in the unfolding drama, to do one's part for the greater good. All are needed in the critical battle to sound the alarm. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward. Sharing credible data is key. Check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for more direction or activist suggestions on how to help. Our collective efforts can still make a difference, even at this late hour. So many have been convinced that they're helpless, that they can't make a difference. This is a lie, programmed on populations by the power structure. Let's do the math. If one individual successfully conveys credible data to two others on the first day of a 30-day month and asks them to do the same, and they do so, those two to two each, and so on for 30 days, that's in the many millions. After 30 days, That's how easy we could reach a critical mass of awareness if we simply started marching in the right direction. And to put one foot on the path of a correct compass heading is to have arrived. The journey is the destination. The destination is the journey. Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.